Good afternoon, everybody. I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:48 p.m. Tuesday, March 12th. We are sorry for the delay. We had some technical difficulties due to the power outage and fried some of our circuits, and we want to make sure the people online are able to participate and give public testimony on a piece of legislation. We're meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Committee members present today are Senator Hughes and Senator Costello. We are expecting other members possibility to join us a little bit later, but we do have a quorum to conduct business this afternoon. We have a couple of items of business for committee consideration. First, we will consider SB 175, Healthcare Services by Telehealth, SB 184, Settlement Trust Benefits and Eligibilities, and SB 124, Mental Health Facility Meds. Then we'll do initial introduction on SB 216, Dementia Awareness. We'll first start with SB 175. This is Healthcare Services by Telehealth. Previously, the committee heard and took public testimony and considered amendments. This bill was first introduced in the committee on March 3rd. And we are looking for, and this is a bill that was sponsored by my office. Senator Hughes, do we have a motion?
At ease.
Yes, at ease. We are back on the record. Senator Hughes.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Chair. I move the Senate Health and Social Services Committee substitute for SB 175, version 32-LS1421-G from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
All right, is there any objection? Seeing none, SB 175 has passed. We'll take it at ease to sign the documents. All right, we are back on the record. We will wait for the bill sponsor to come for SB 184. So we will move on to SB 124. This is our ninth hearing on the bill. We've taken public testimony and worked through all the amendments. Is there a motion, Senator Hughes? I'm sorry. Yes. I think it's moving to CS.
To move the CS? Yes. Oh. Yes, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 124, version 32-GS1730-I before the committee as a working document.
And I'll object for an explanation. So the work draft before us in version I incorporates all the adopted amendments that the committee worked on through those many committee hearings. It also amends the language in Section 29 of the work draft to conform with the Emergency Order 121 with the DHSS bifurcation. So now it just refers to items as Department of Health. And with that, I will remove my – before I move my objection, any questions on those comments for the CS? Seeing none, I will move my objection. Is there further objection from adopting the CS? Seeing none, the adoption of this committee substitute has been approved. And with that, is there any final comments from the administration on SB 124? Shaking their head no. Is there a motion, Senator Hughes?
Actually, may I make some final comments?
Oh, yes, Senator Hughes.
Yeah, thank you. And I know there's been some concerns expressed about the bill. This is... is moving on to the Senate. I have a stack. I'm just looking at all the things that I have committed to looking at in the Judiciary Committee, and I know that there are some things that need some attention, and I can just assure members that I plan to look at that. And, you know, we started out with questions, and I think the question came up three times because a lot of folks in my area, a lot of folks, I believe, in Senator Reinbold's area, We're concerned about this bill and exactly what it was doing. One of the questions that came up, could a person ever be taken into custody to one of these crisis centers, which are essentially outpatient clinics, for could someone be taken in custody for their beliefs, whether those are political, religious, et cetera? And we were assured, I believe on the record, a total of three times, that is not the case. And if for no other reason but that, that would be a good reason for this bill to move forward and pass, because then that intent is with this bill. So that's one point I want to make. I also want to make the point that even we've had concerns about the medications, some of these are pretty potent medications, and that is true, but it's been emphasized numerous times they're used as a last resort to prevent injury or death. And so I want people to be aware of that. And also, I'm aware in my area, Mr. Chair, someone that I know who's now involved with a faith-based service in our area is looking to and working on opening up, if we pass this bill, one of these crisis centers, which would essentially be an outpatient clinic. And if I had a friend or family member that were in a situation, I would rather have this bill in place so my friend or family member could go to this outpatient crisis center rather than be either taken to jail or to a hospital, which are the options now. And when we think about what happened during COVID, and hospitals set their policies as far as when visitors can be in a hospital and not in a hospital, and of course getting into a jail to visit a family member, it's not as humane as what we're talking about. I like the idea of one of these outpatient clinics because a family member could be there present with the person. A pastor would be able to come, or a good friend. And so I think this is a less restrictive and better alternative. The bill may not be perfect at this point, but work will continue on it. One of the other great things is we worked on notification and discussions of consent. And right now that is not the case. So I think in that way we improved it. We also heard from Mr. Gottstein about many of the patient rights matters that were addressed in this bill. So what we actually have, even though there are concerns about the medications and just the overall thing of taking someone into custody, is what we have is actually something that is better than the status quo. And so for that reason, I am supporting this bill and do commit to the committee that will continue to work on it in judiciary. And if any members have concerns from this committee, something that we can look to in the next committee of referral, I'm happy to work with that member to do so. So with that, I'm ready to make the motion unless someone else has comments.
Is there further committee comments? Seeing none, Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Senate Health and Social Services Committee substitute for SB 124, version 32-GS1730/I from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Is there objection? Seeing none, SB 24, version I, has moved from committee. We'll take an at ease for the documents. We are back on the record. Our next item of business is Senate Bill 216, Dementia Awareness, sponsored by Senator Costello, and she is here in the committee. And we have her trustee staff, Ms. Katie McCall, here to help give a bill overview. I'll turn it over to the esteemed senator and let her begin. If you guys want to place yourself on the record and get started.
Thank you. So I'm, of course, Senator Costello, and I represent South Anchorage in this body, and this legislation is very important to me. I think it's really hard to find somebody in the state of Alaska who has not been affected by Alzheimer's, either personally or in their family. And, Mr. Chair, there's really two things that this bill does, is it creates a statewide dementia awareness program to help educate individuals and Alaskans about what dementia is. And then secondly, is it sets us up to receive federal funding for dementia education, and that is related to the 2018 BOLD Act, which is Building Our Largest Dementia Infrastructure for Alzheimer's Act. And so, Mr. Chair, I think that all of us here in this body are aware of dementia and the impact that it has on Alaskans. And so I'm hoping that today that we can fully vet this bill and then, you know, hear from members in the community about how important this is, that we take a good close look at, you know, how we can better serve Alaskans through awareness and also through receipt of federal funds.
Thank you, Senator Costello. And for the record, we're joined by Senator Begich.
All right. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Katie McCall. So Senate Bill 216 addresses a growing number of people living with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias by directing the Department of Health and Social Services, which is now the Department of Health, to develop a statewide dementia awareness program with the goal of educating the public about the importance of early detection, diagnosis, and treatment. Fewer than half of Americans living with Alzheimer's disease receive a formal diagnosis, meaning that many Alaskans with dementia have yet to receive a diagnosis, which further delays valuable treatment options. Senate Bill 234 is intended to improve the rate of diagnosis for dementia in Alaska and to educate clinicians, health professionals, and the public on the early warning signs of dementia. Alzheimer's disease is one of 10 types of dementia and is the ninth leading cause of death for Alaskans. More than 12,500 Alaskans are currently living with dementia, and with the implementation of a statewide dementia awareness program, the number of Alaskans who receive an early diagnosis is expected to increase. The creation of a dementia awareness campaign will help diagnose those suffering from dementia and help Alaska be prepared for what has been called the most underrated threat to public health in the 21st century. Additionally, the creation of the dementia awareness program within the Department of Health will position the state to receive federal funding for dementia education, which is available, as Senator Costello mentioned, through the 2018 federal legislation known as the Building Our Largest Dementia Infrastructure for Alzheimer's Act, also known as the BOLD Act. And Mr. Chair, if there are no questions at this time, I'd be happy to walk the committee through the sectional analysis.
Any questions before we get to the sectional analysis? Seeing none, please proceed.
So this bill creates a new section in statute, AS 1809-300. It's amended by adding a new section that would create a statewide dementia awareness program within the Department of Health. This new section requires the program to secure the full benefits available to the state under the federal law 42 U.S.C. 280 C through 3 and C through 5. The department is required to create and provide dementia educational materials to health boards, physicians, hospitals, and medical clinics for distribution to the public. The department must also develop educational programs for the court system, law enforcement, firefighters, social service providers, and emergency responders to educate those individuals on recognizing the symptoms and needs of persons with dementia. This new section of law requires the department to maintain a list of state providers who diagnose, evaluate, or manage dementia. The department is also required to develop and implement a public awareness campaign by coordinating with the major state and national nonprofit dementia organizations. The public awareness campaign will implement community-based programs to educate the public about dementia and encourage the public to seek diagnosis. Additionally, the awareness campaign will publicize the scope and magnitude of dementia in the state, promote the benefits of early detection and diagnosis, increase awareness of methods to minimize the risk of developing dementia, and inform Alaskans about services available in the state to diagnose and treat dementia. Mr. Chair, that concludes the sectional analysis.
Right. Is there any questions for the bill sponsor, Senator Hughes?
Yes, I'm wondering, the federal program, I believe, was passed in 2018. How much funding might be available to the state, and when that might be available, and what types of things could it be used in this area of dementia?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I don't have that number in front of me. I believe, Mr. Chair, if you'd like, Elizabeth Bowling, who represents the Alzheimer's Association, might be online, and she can speak in depth about the federal legislation.
Do you mind waiting until the time for her public testimony?
That is fine. I have one more question, which might also go to the invited testimony. May I ask that? I am just wondering, because I am actually thinking of a family member, and I'm just wondering, does early diagnosis of someone with dementia improve the prognosis as far as the treatment available? In other words, extend the time before it gets more severe. And so I don't know if the sponsor's staff can answer that, or that may be for one of the invited testimonies.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I'm sure invited testifiers could probably give you a better answer, but early diagnosis does have much better outcomes, and it's just much better for the families and the people suffering to get those resources to them as quickly as possible, and to help the families understand what that individual is going through, and make it much easier for everyone involved.
Thank you.
Further questions before we open up for invited testimony? Seeing none, we will start with invited testimony. We first have Pam Kelly, the Executive Director of the Alzheimer's Research Resource of Alaska. Pam, if you can hear us, if you can state your name and affiliation for the record, and please start your invited testimony.
Thank you, Chairman Wilson. I can hear you. I hope that you can hear me clearly.
Yes.
And thank you, members of the committee. My name is Pamela Kelly, and I am the Executive Director of Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. My organization is the largest dementia services organization operating in the state. We do so from our locations in Mat-Su and Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau. I'm also here because I chair the Alaska Dementia Action Collaborative, which is an ongoing work group of more than 35 stakeholders, public, private, tribal, nonprofit, all actively working to improve our vast state's ability to prepare for and address the challenges we'll face as ever-growing numbers of our neighbors live with and support those who experience dementia from any one of a number of different disorders. Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska has assisted tens of thousands of Alaskans affected by dementia over the last 38 years. Individuals and families come to us after they or a family member has begun to experience memory problems or other symptoms of concern. By then, it's ordinarily too late for prevention measures, and we engage with them to work to help slow the rate of cognitive decline, maintain engagement in their community and in their environments, and help them plan and adapt for what's to come, because these are, of course, progressive and ultimately fatal conditions. I'm certain that we should be building greater awareness about dementia and its risk factors to reach those in Alaska whose risks can be reduced well before those most worrying symptoms begin to appear. That's what it will take to reduce those forecasted numbers that we see that are quite grim. Today, the Dementia Action Collaborative is estimating that 12,500 Alaskans experience dementia, but we also project that using looking at all forms of dementia, that number will increase by 2030 to approximately 23,000 Alaskans. So you can imagine, if we pay attention to someone's modifiable risk factors, while that individual is in their 20s, 30s, or 40s, that can have an impact. Because when symptoms are already present, the disease has taken hold. The truth is, most of us are not really aware of dementia or thinking about how to prevent it during those years unless we've seen it in a loved one. And as was mentioned earlier, many of us have the experience of seeing it in and knowing someone quite close to us who has lived with and perhaps even died from the impacts of dementia. Even then, however, for some, the risk seems distant. And the professional literature tells us that it's not. I don't want to leave the committee with the impression that there's no public awareness work being done in Alaska. There is, but it's being done piecemeal. It's being done on the retail level. My organization and many others, we do it at health fairs and community events and in VFW halls and at speaking engagements. But what this bill would do is help Alaska create a population-level campaign. Messages about early lifestyle choices to minimize risk, the value of early detection, messages in many languages designed to reach those with greater risk. I also support this bill because I want to see Alaska develop better data around the extent of dementia in our state. I know the Department of Public Health has the experience to refine the data, to operate a health campaign with impact. And I know there are federal dollars available that would help us achieve that. I also know that to have dedicated expertise within the department focused on dementia would be an important resource for Alaska over the years to come. And so it is for all of those reasons that Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska and the Dementia Action Collaborative support SB 216. Thank you for your attention. I urge you to support this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Is there any questions for Pam Kelly? Senator Baggage.
Thank you. Ms. Kelly, are you working with, do you work or did you get opinion from the Commission on Aging as well on the legislation? Is there coordination?
Through the chair, Senator Baggage, yes, the Dementia Action Collaborative has within its ranks the Commission on Aging. The Commission on Aging supports this legislation as well.
Thank you.
Yes, and we do have Nora Soffer to
Nona,
testify after Ms. Kelly from the Commission on Aging. All right. No further questions, Ms. Kelly? Thank you for being available and giving your invited testimony today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Next, we have Nona Soffer. I apologize about your last name. It's Nona. Member on the Alaska Commission on Aging and Alaska Traumatic and Acquired Brain Injury Advisory Council. If you want to state your name and affiliation for the record, and you may begin your invited testimony when you're ready.
Okay. Good afternoon, Senators. I'm Nona Safra of Homer, Alaska. I am a member of the Alaska Commission on Aging and the CHAPI Task Force. And the Commission on Aging does support this bill, and we are currently working on the next five-year plan for senior services. And dementia awareness will be a part of that plan as it has become a public health crisis that's devastating to Alaska. The Commission on Aging works with partners such as the Mental Health Trust, Alzheimer's Resources, and the Traumatic and Acquired Brain Injury Council to explore what is working and what isn't so we can best understand the impact that dementia has on Alaskans, their caregivers, and their families in our ever-growing population of seniors and people with disabilities and veterans. And we can better understand the challenges of those whose dementia is complicated by mental illness, brain injuries, developmental disabilities, and substance abuse. But our workforce and budget will be impacted by the sheer number of Alaskans who will be diagnosed with dementia in the next decade. So Alaska needs a better way to handle this. A staggering example of the scope of the issue can be seen in the Pioneer Home, where it's estimated that 58% of the residents have dementia, and that number will be rising. SB 216 helps Alaskans who have or are caring for someone already diagnosed with dementia and those who have yet to be properly diagnosed in raising awareness of changes that can be made to their lifestyles and behaviors that can mitigate the onset of dementia. Today, I'm also speaking as an Alaskan who has a brain injury, which increases my odds for dementia. Imagine my anxiety every time I'm forgetful. This bill will teach Alaskans like me how to delay that onset. But I'm also a caregiver for someone who has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So I'm speaking from experience and from my heart. It would be an understatement to say it was challenging to navigate the path to get proper help once I understood that someone I care about had dementia. It was too late for him to benefit from the awareness programs. But it's not too late for other Alaskans and those who love them. SB 216 will help them get a better access to diagnosis, evaluation, and to manage this disease. So I speak for Alaskans who have brain injuries from accidents, health conditions, as well as the thousands of survivors we have in our state of domestic abuse who don't understand that their odds have increased and that things can be done now to change their odds. The passage of SB 216 gives Alaskans a safety net, which provides a viable alternative before crisis intervention is necessary. We're moving Alaska in the right direction with its passage. With federal receipt authority written in, Alaska can access funds under the BOLD Act, and not applying for these funds would be a missed opportunity for Alaskan families. So as an advocate for seniors, veterans, and others with disabilities, I ask you, if I am not for others, then who am I? And if not now, when? Alaskans like me, it depends on you, our senators, to do this. So I urge the committee to support this bill. And I most thank you for your time.
Thank you, Nona, for your testimony. Are there any questions? Seeing none, again, thank you for providing your valid testimony in front of the committee today. We also have Carol Fink online for questions for committee members. She's a section chief of the Division of Public Health. And Elizabeth Bowling is online for questions from the public policy manager of the Alzheimer's Association. Ms. Bowling, did you have any comments or that you may want to make or to answer any of the senator's ongoing questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Elizabeth Bowling. I'm the public policy manager for the Alzheimer's Association, and I can respond to the previous question concerning federal funding if the committee is interested.
Yes, please.
So the pot of money that's available through the BOLD Act program at the federal level was just topped off, actually. Thank you to Senators Sullivan and Murkowski and the late Representative Don Young for their support of topping off that program. $25 million. Was inserted into that program, and there are four levels of grants that states can apply for through the program. Because Alaska does not currently have any dementia programs, this bill will help us qualify for the core capacity grant, which is the most basic level of grant, which is generally somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Bowling. Any further questions? Senator Casella.
Thank you, Elizabeth. This is Senator Costello, and I was curious if you could provide the committee with information on those four different levels of grants that are provided by the federal government.
Sure. So through the chair, the initial level of grant is a core capacity grant. We would qualify as we would be creating a public awareness program which meets the need of one of the levels. An additional level would be to create a statewide dementia coalition. We have an informal one at this time that is funded through the Mental Health Trust. So essentially, if the state of Alaska were to, in the future, create a task force or some other certifiable official designation for work for statewide dementia coalition work, then that would qualify us. Updating our ADRD strategic plans, using the federal roadmap for dementia as a guide would qualify us. And then there's another level called the enhanced recipient level. And those grants are generally for states that are much more involved and have more robust dementia programs. They usually are engaging with tribes on a wider level, providing services or implementing ADRD activities in line with federal strategic plans. And we're just not at that level yet in Alaska. But through this legislation, the language should make us a really perfect applicant. I should forecast for the eventual opening of those application deadlines, which I would expect to be in the fall, but they haven't been announced yet for this year. They were last announced in 2021, in the summer. And since that was just popped off, I imagine it's going to take the federal government a little bit to get all their ducks in a row and get ready to accept applications.
And Elizabeth, if you'll be able to provide the details over the four levels to my office, so I can distribute those to the committee members, and how we qualify would be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will send that information to your office. I'm going to send the bold infrastructure for Alzheimer's Act, which is now public law, and I'm also going to send you the Healthy Brain Initiative state and local public health partnership plan, which is the roadmap referenced in the enhanced capacity.
And thank you so much. Are there any other questions for Ms. Bowling? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up public testimony for SB 216. Is anyone here in the room in Juneau would like to testify on Senate Bill 216? Seeing none, is there anyone else? And there's no one else online. We will go ahead and close public testimony. Is there further questions from the committee? Seeing none, is there closing comments from the sponsor? Seeing none, we will set an amendment deadline for this upcoming Monday, the 18th, at close business for Senate Bill 216. We'll take a brief at ease. We are back on the record. We will bring up 184 back for the committee's consideration on Tuesday the 19th of April to continue that. And then our Thursday, we have a schedule bills previously heard and scheduled, and I don't think anything has come up yet, so that committee might be canceled. We'll issue a notice from our office here shortly, and that concludes our business for today.
And that's Thursday, April 21st, not this Thursday?
That's this Thursday.
Oh, this Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Two days now, on the 14th. And then our next meeting will be April 19th. Any further committee comments?
Yes.
Yes, Senator Baggage.
I just want to apologize to the committee. I had another commitment that kept me from being here on time. Timely matter, and I want to thank the committee for finally moving out SB 124. I think it was important that I think the committee did good work on that bill, and I look forward to it passing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you, Senator Begich. We appreciate all the committee folks and their work on that bill, and look forward to that considering that policy and having further debate on that piece of legislation. With that, we are adjourned at 2:29 p.m.